One of my jobs was to precisely level right across the steel falsework from Huntley's Point to Des Moines with a precise level and parallel plate micrometer, which was quite difficult on account of two things in particular, or three things. One was you had extremely short foresights going up the arch. Another thing was if there was much wind, you had to be very patient in taking your readings. And another matter was that the steel falsework was most of the time shaking because of many workers going about their activities on it.
The arch tapered from the abutment or springing to the crown so that each of the arch blocks between those two points was somewhat different in shape from the block either side of it. So at Woolwich, the contractor established a casting yard with enough foundations to cast all of the blocks for one rib of the arch without moving any of them. These were cast as four vertical walls and in due course were taken to the site, turned over and erected in the arch.
The hollow blocks were brought up by a barge and lifted up and transported on a trolley across onto the steel falsework and then just lowered down either side. And as they came against each other, they had hardwood packs that kept about a 4-inch joint. And then they were concreted afterwards. And then the packs taken out and they concreted around, so that was a solid joint. Every fifth block was a solid with an oval hole through it, access hole, diaphragms. And they just did the one single arch, jacked it, and then moved the falsework sideways. And they pulled the falsework out on skids, on rails, skidding across on top of the piles and ready for the next arch. And as they put each arch, they got the four arches, they then joined them with the cables and stressed them together and then concreted them as well. So you had the arch and then all the road beams were built either side of the bridge on site. They put all these on, stressed them on with big bars, and put the top parts on, and yeah, it was straightforward once you knew what was happening.
The ribs were being erected on a steel falsework, and the units accumulated a huge tonnage as they were progressively placed from the bottom up towards the top, one side, one the other. I think there are 128 units in each rib. Huge tonnage of concrete, so there was quite a bit of deflection of the steel falsework. And of course, as the units were placed on the falsework, hardwood blocks of varying thicknesses had to be placed underneath them, as it were, to shim them onto the cords of the falsework so that their underside profile would come out as planned. That was quite a task to get these shims correct. And the more units you put on, the more deflection of the steel falsework occurred.
The Gladesville Bridge project was large enough to enable a special concrete testing lab to be set up on the site.
It was unusual to have a lab on the site in those days, and for a number of years after, all the concrete cylinders, and that was the main interest for the lab, were forwarded to our testing laboratory, which is at Milson's Point under the approaches to the Harbour Bridge. And we had a test laboratory there that covered both concrete and soils and bitumens. But Gladesville was a big enough project, and there was a need for a turnaround of results too for the precast box units we used to make up the arch ribs. But the main purpose of the lab would have been to test concrete cylinders, which were samples of the concrete that was used in the ribs and other parts of the structure, cast into moulds. I think they were 6 inches diameter and 12 inches long, and they were tested in a testing machine to determine the load at which they broke. And whilst tests would be done at early ages, say 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, for the purposes of allowing production to proceed, the result that was paid on was the standard result is the 28-day tests. So the concrete testing was used to investigate particular batches of concrete, but it was also used in a bigger picture sense to manage the quality of the concrete. So results generally were analysed over time to determine whether there were longer-term trends of a drop-off in the strength of concrete.
Thank you. concrete in the precast products of the bridge was required to have a minimum compressive strength at 28 days of 6,000 pounds per square inch, which involved a target strength 20% higher of 7,200 pounds per square inch. In those days, these were very high strengths indeed. In fact, I cannot recall that such a high strength was required in a bridge until that time.